You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Glory. All right, everybody ready?
Yes.
Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to John, the 14th chapter. John 14. We started teaching, about a month ago on authority on Wednesday nights. And then we went from authority into the name of Jesus, a natural transition. When you think about authority, you're going to have to eventually get down to the name of Jesus. Amen? And how the name of Jesus is above every name. We taught that one night. And I think last Wednesday night we taught on how the name of Jesus was given to us. That we have this name. It's been bestowed upon us. It's been handed to us through the new birth, through salvation, through becoming a new creature. Jesus has given us His name. And the reason He gave us His name is to continue His work. The reason He gave us His name is so we can have authority when we pray, so we can know we get our prayers answered. We don't pray on our merits. We don't pray on our goodness and our works. We pray on the merits of what Jesus did. We don't pray in our name. We pray in His name. See, and that's where we get in trouble oftentimes. We'll pray, and we're believing God for something or trying to believe, and we have a promise and a word, and we're standing on it, but we feel unworthy, or maybe we'll think of something we did wrong. Or we'll get to thinking we're not special like somebody else, or I'm not a preacher, or I'm not a pastor, or I'm not an evangelist, whatever, you know. You go through this whole list of things when you're praying, trying to get yourself worthy to receive, and you're looking at the whole thing wrong. You're not even coming in your name. That's why He gave us His name, so we could come in His name, and God looks at Him, not us, because we're going in the authority He gave us to pray. He gave us His name to pray in, so God looks at Jesus. He didn't look at us. Hello. And so that's one of the main reasons we have the name. I want to talk about tonight praying in the name. Praying in the name of Jesus. That puts prayer on another level. It puts it in another category altogether. We think of prayer many times in terms of I'll do this, God does that. You know, if I'm good enough, I'll get this answer. That's just wrong all the way through. Prayer is a legal matter. Prayer is very legal. It's very legal. You come to God in Jesus' name because you're a Christian, you're a believer, you're washed in the blood, and you're the ones He's going to move through. And you're the one He gave the name to use, and you're supposed to be using it. You're not supposed to crawl in there and hope God's not looking, and maybe you can sneak up on His blind side and get you a healing when He's not looking. You're supposed to go in there with your face full in His face, Him very conscious of the fact you're coming. Because He told you to do this. He told you to come. He told you to use His name. He commissioned, authorized you with the name of Jesus to pray. Amen. But we as Christians don't do that. We'll come into prayer and we feel our unworthiness. We think about our sin. We think about whether God really wants us to have it or not. And yet He told us in His Word we could. But we got the whole thing wrong. We are supposed to use that name in prayer. Why? So we can get our prayers answered. That went over real big. We're supposed to use this name in prayer. Why? Because you're not going to get it if you don't use that name. You have no right to it except through that name. And so that ought to take us out of the picture altogether in the sense of worthiness and put Jesus in the picture. It's all based on what He did, not what I did. I'm not going to heaven on what I did. I'm not going to get my prayers answered on what I did. I get my prayers answered on what He did too. Hello? Now, I'm not saying go sin. Oh, God forbid. Don't take this the other direction. If you're serving God, you're going to want to do what's right. But you still can't be good enough to get a prayer answered. Do you think the people got healed in the Bible were just special, spiritual, holy people that really deserved a healing? And the ones that didn't get healed were just so wicked, they just didn't rate. No, the people who got healed in the Bible were the ones that believed. Are you with me? Do you think people that get saved are people that are just real special people? You know, we're so much better than those sinners out there. Come on. Watch it. Watch it. Do you think we're just special? You know, the ones that accepted Jesus and going to heaven, we're just real, we're just cool, okay? Everybody else out there, you know, they're just not with it, you know. They don't have what we have. Well, that's true, they don't have what we have. But we didn't have what we have either before we accepted Jesus. You know why we got saved? Because we call on that name. Those people out there you don't think are so cool, all they got to do is call on that name and they can be saved too. We didn't get saved because we were special. We got saved because we called on the name. Now, prayer. Why is it we play that same game when we get back to prayer? One day I'm going to get so holy, I'm going to get all my prayers answered. Hey, throw the towel in right now. It's over. You're never going to get there. If that's the case, you're never going to get there. You come in the name. You come trusting, putting all your trust and all your faith in Him and what He said, just like when you got saved. And you pray in that name, and God will move heaven and earth when that name is prayed on the lips of a believer. And He'll do what He says. Now let's just look at what Jesus said. Y'all found John 14?
Yes.
It's going to be good stuff. You're going to love it. Yes. Glory. John 14. This is an amazing scripture here. I just love this. I got a lot of scriptures just amazing to me. You know, I mean, they're all, to me, they're just awesome. They're just spectacular. They're supernatural. They revolutionize my thinking and my life, my outlook and worldview and everything. It just good stuff. God's Word. John 14, 12, Jesus speaking. He says, verily, verily, New King James says, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do because I go to my Father. Wow, wow, wow. I mean, that just boggles the mind. When you read that, you can't even picture that in your natural mind. Your natural mind can't even conceive. I can't imagine doing what Jesus did. Are you kidding? And greater works? And yet, Jesus said that, didn't He? And what kind of requirement did He put on those? Or what category of people do that? What do we have to do? He that believes in me. He said, well, that just can't be. Now, Pastor, you're going over the deep end now. I was following you for a little while. Now you're out there in the deep space, past the pulsars and the quasars. You're out there. Well, wait a minute. I didn't say this. Jesus said this. Amen? And really, when you think about it, He says, he that believes in me, the works will he do. Well, that's no different than John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. I mean, we could be skeptical and we could just buck up to that and say, well, you know, I just can't believe anybody would have everlasting life. I think really, if the truth be known, we're all going to perish and there's not a thing in the world we're going to be able to do about it. You're telling me all I got to do is believe on Jesus and I wouldn't perish but have everlasting life. I just can't swallow that. That's just too much for me to handle. Well, you know what you'd say, and I'd say, we'd just come right back and say, oh, no, man, that's exactly what Jesus said. He said, if you believed on Him, you wouldn't perish. But you'd have everlasting life. Oh, that just can't be. Man, that's just wild. That's a pipe dream. You're out there somewhere. I don't know where you are, man. You need to come back down here. Earth, earth calling. Hello? And yet you and I know John 3:16 is true. And as wild as that sounds, as impossible as that seems, if we believe on Jesus, we will not perish. We will have everlasting life.
Amen.
Now that makes good scriptural sense to anybody that is a Christian or that believes in Jesus. Well, where is the big step between that and this? It's based on the same thing. He that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Well, we have to qualify ourselves that we do believe on Him for Christians. Amen? Well, Melissa, anyway. One of you are. If you believe on Him, you are a Christian. You're not going to perish. You've got eternal life. Well, Jesus said this also in the same book, incidentally, that He said that. Same book, John 3:16 is in. John 14:12 is in. The same wording, he that believes on me. From Jesus, same scripture, both scriptures from Jesus. And He says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. That's interesting, because He says, because I go to my Father. There's a reason why He's laying this on us. There's a reason why He's saying, now we're going to do what He did. And the reason is because He's gone to the Father. And yet he doesn't want to stop people getting healed. He doesn't want to stop people getting delivered. He doesn't want to stop miracles from happening. He doesn't want to stop healing, blessing, delivering, helping people. Just because he's not here doesn't mean he's still not doing those things. It's just that he's not doing it through himself now. He's doing it through us now. He's doing it through believers. Amen. But it's still him doing it, as we shall see here in a minute. In other words, we may put our hands on him, we may pray the name, but it is him, or Jesus, that does it through us. Are you out there?
Yes.
Let's go on a little further. So he says, "Most surely I say unto you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever," here it is, listen, "and whatever you ask in my name," listen, "that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." God bless you. "That I will do." Who does it? Jesus. But he does it through us, doesn't he? He's not here. We are here. And since we're here, we're his representatives. And if we'll ask in his name, he'll do what he's always done through us. "And he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and even greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Whatever you ask in my name." Wow. How do we ask? In the name. Amen. What do we ask for? Well, you just follow Jesus and ask for the things he asked for. Do the things he did. Pray for people like he'd pray for them. Isn't that right? You say, "Well, who gave you the authority to do that? Who died and put you in charge?" Jesus. He died, rose again, put us in charge. How? Through his name. And no different than a credit card. You just slap that credit card down there, they swipe that thing, and I'm telling you, healing comes right out of it. And all they're concerned about is whose name's on that card. Make sure the account's okay and it's got all that in it. And I'll guarantee you, Jesus' account has lots of healing in it. Doesn't matter about your account, it matters about his account. It has nothing to do with your name, it's his name. y'all getting this?
Amen.
Okay. So, y'all believe Jesus? Let's just make it real simple. This is not International Outreach Church doctrine. This is not Pentecostal Charismatic doctrine, Baptist doctrine, Methodist doctrine, Assembly of God doctrine. Thank God for all these churches. We're pro-church. There's a lot of great churches in our community. And we get up and we preach the Bible. But the bottom line is, we are Christians. We're Jesus people. We may go to a certain local assembly, and that's good. Everybody should get together and join up with a group and reach their community and make a difference. Hello. But we're not Baptist, Methodist, International Outreach Churchites, all those things. We are Christians who attend some of these churches. Does that make sense? And we believe what Jesus said. This is not Baptist doctrine, International Outreach Church doctrine, Methodist doctrine, Assembly of God. Right on down the list. Are you with Church of Christ doctrine? This is just Jesus. This is the Bible. This is what the Bible says. And we believe the Bible. Amen? And Jesus said, wow, 13th verse, "Whatever you ask in my name." Well, that's how we're going to do the works. And even greater works. And I think greater will probably be in quantity, because there's sure a whole lot more of us than just Jesus himself. Jesus multiplied himself to a great degree while he was here through the 12 disciples and through 70 that he sent out others also. And then through the church, and the early church, but really the church is much bigger today. Amen? And on any given day, there are probably more miracles in one given day than happened even in Jesus' ministry, because there are just that many more people being touched and reached. He had a limited area that he ministered in. Are you with me? Now, he's the Son of God, we're not. He is God and we're not. I understand that. But he started something that he wanted to grow and expand, and it has. There's probably more people saved right now that really are born again, know Jesus as Lord and Savior, than there probably even existed in Israel when Jesus preached around the world. So that'd probably be the greater works in quantity, not necessarily quality, because I don't know many people walking on the water. You know. Hello. But the Bible does say we could do that. Now listen, I'm not taking up, you know, commitments right now. People want to walk on the water. Although in the next few days we may have some ample opportunities to do that. We're just talking about praying in the name. You know, the way you do, how did Paul do what he did? How did Peter do what he did? The name of Jesus. In fact, we went over that, you know, recently, how Peter said it was through faith in that name that he healed that lame man. And as we continue to teach on this subject, not tonight, but we'll get into the book of Acts and just take the name of Jesus in the book of Acts and look how it was used and how the apostles leaned on that name and prayed in that name and used that name. Hallelujah. Thank God for the name. Amen. So, most assuredly, 12th verse, I say to you, Jesus saying it, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Now, maybe you're not doing this. Maybe this is beyond your comprehension, but you know we sure need to start somewhere. Why don't you go lay hands on a sick person? Lay hands on yourself. In Jesus' name. Start somewhere. Let's start this thing. Let's make a difference. Let's use the name. It's been given to us to use. The works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. We're it, see? He's in heaven, we're down here. And he says, whatever you ask in my name, there's the key, the secret, that's how it happens. That's the 1, 2, 3, the steps we go through to do the works of Jesus. The steps are real simple. We pray in his name. Hello. We don't just, you know, avoid walking under ladders, avoid black cats, and throw salt over our shoulder. We don't click our heels 3 times and wish we were in Kansas. We say in Jesus' name. Yeah. Amen. We don't even hold the Bible over people and rub their, you know, be healed. No, this there's nothing here. This is just paper. We use that name.
Amen.
Hello. See, we go through all these things. You ever seen people play baseball, how they go through all these gyrations before they pitch? You know, they're so superstitious, you know. Whatever, you know, and throw that ball. Yeah, I don't know. They, you know, just something. We can get into religious habits like that, that we got to do everything right, get the holy water out, you know, and all this other stuff, hold up the cross. And listen, that never did work. That's old black and white movies. Dracula always ran when they held the cross up. It's not the cross, it's the name. It's the name of Jesus that runs the devil off. Not complicated. You know, it's not a matter of you being all that great. I'm here to tell you, you're not all that great, and it's okay. I'm not either. You know, aren't you glad you came tonight? You found out you're not that great. But he is. He is that great. And that's the point. And we've been given his name to pray in. Wow. What an honor. I mean, somebody just gave me his checkbook. Somebody just gave me their credit card and authorized me to use it. Hallelujah. Whatever you ask, 13th verse, in my name, that I will do. What will God do? I'm here to tell you, God will do that for you. What is that? That is what you ask in Jesus' name. Well, I wonder what God will do. Well, I don't wonder. I know what he'll do. He'll do what I ask in Jesus' name, and that's all he'll do. That is what he will do. That what? What I ask in Jesus' name. That's what he'll do. Wow. I'm going to preach until I get it. Okay. I'm just getting it. I'm getting it more and more. He'll do that. What is the thing that God will do? What is that that he will do? What I ask in Jesus' name. Well, I wish God would do something. Well, God wish you will ask something in his name. Well, I'm waiting on him to do something. Well, he's waiting on you to ask in Jesus' name. Don't you remember growing up and you wanted the butter and Daddy said, what do you say? You learn to say, please, pass the butter. Well, Daddy's telling us, come in the name. Hello. It's on the table. But we have a little protocol we go through here. It's a legal matter. God set up the rules. He's the Daddy and Daddy rules the house. Now, when it comes to prayer, he's very specific about it. He tells us how to pray. He said, well, I don't think it really matters how you pray. Just pray any way you want to. Well, I think it does matter how you pray. I believe we ought to pray God the way God wants us to. Amen? It's not a matter of what I think or you think. It's a matter of what he says and what he thinks. And he tells us to ask in his name. And then he says this. He says, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. See, this is what's so good. It's not just a selfish thing or self-centered thing. When you find a promise in God's Word, that's His will, and you pray it in Jesus' name, you're not being selfish. You're allowing God to be glorified through keeping His Word. Because every answered prayer glorifies Jesus. It doesn't glorify you, it glorifies Him. It's not to exalt you and make you a great faith person. It's to exalt Him and show to you and to the world that He is a God of His Word, that He means what He says, that He will do what He says. And there's nothing impossible to Him. Every answered prayer glorifies the Lord. Wow. Now let's look at the 15th chapter. Jesus still speaking. John 15. Oh, goodness. I want to stay with the point of praying in the name. And yet there are so many good scriptures in here. I was thinking of the seventh verse. In fact, let's just look at that. Can we look at that real quick? Okay. It's not exactly on the same lines, but it is about asking. 15:7 says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire or will, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified." By what? By asking and receiving. By getting what you ask for. By this, see, it doesn't glorify God for you to ask and get nothing. The world can ask and get nothing. Anybody can get nothing. How does that glorify God? Well, I got sick for the glory. No, you didn't. There's people lost, don't even know the Lord, get sick. He didn't get glory out of that. There's atheists that get sick. But miraculous healing doesn't generally happen to a Satan worshiper, an atheist, or... Hello. Healing glorifies God, not sickness. God's glorified by what He does, not by what the devil does. So God's glorified not by unanswered prayer. He's glorified by answered prayer. So we need to get more answered prayers. How do we get more answered prayers? Well, obviously, we want to abide in Him. We want His Word to abide in us, because that's the only way we have an assurance of an answered prayer, is that we're asking what He told us we could have. But then we should be assured of the fact that we will get it, because He said we could get it when we ask in His name. Amen? Amen. So He goes on and says this, 16th verse, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give it you." Who said that? I don't know about you. Mine's written in red. Amen? This is Jesus speaking. He just told us over in the 14th chapter that whatever we ask in His name, He'd do it. Here He is in the 15th chapter saying the same thing, talking about prayer, and He gives us a little protocol. He says, we ask the Father in His name. You know, I hear some people saying, they ask Jesus. Well, I think you can talk to Jesus, worship Jesus, fellowship with Jesus. But Jesus told us not to ask Him. He told us to ask the Father in His name. Right. You say, well, you're just splitting hairs. Well, you just have to talk to Jesus about that. I didn't say that. He said that. I just have to believe what He said. Hello. And He says, well, it's not really all that important. Well, I guess it is important. He said it. Yeah. I'm not being mean-spirited here or being redneck, you know, about this. But the point is, Jesus did tell us how to pray. I think it would make a lot of sense for us to follow the instruction from the Master, not from me, not from, you know, my feeling or your feeling or my opinion or your opinion, but from Jesus' own words. He told us how to pray, and He told us to ask the Father in Jesus' name. I always get upset, you know, not upset, mad, and, you know, beat the floor or anything, but it always gets in me when I watch someone pray, or on TV they'll pray, and they'll just say amen instead of in Jesus' name. Well, you hadn't got there yet if you don't say Jesus' name. Because amen just doesn't cut it. Amen is just you saying so be it. But when you say in Jesus' name, now you're putting in a legal realm. You're saying, okay, under the authority, Lord, You've given me, I'm praying in that name. I'm coming to You on the basis of what Jesus did, not me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hello. Jesus said it. Amen. And He said this, You did not choose me. Everybody say, I'm chosen. Okay, let's look at what we're chosen to do here. It says, you did not choose me, but I have chosen you and appointed you or ordained you that you should go and bear fruit. I am chosen to bear or ordained to bear fruit. Now, immediately, we think that's souls. And I agree, it is souls. I don't agree that it's just souls. I believe we should lead people to the Lord. We should bear fruit in that respect. But in context of the Scripture, he's saying that the fruit here is whatever we ask the Father in His name. Hello. Now, you understand what I'm saying. I believe we should bear fruit, bear souls. We should win souls. He that winneth souls is wise. We should lead people to the Lord. We should witness about our faith. We should tell people about Jesus. That is bearing fruit too. But in context here, he's talking about the fruit of answered prayer, which would include souls, incidentally, because that should be something we're praying about. Are you with me? But God has appointed us and ordained us. It is our calling, it is our destiny to pray in the name of Jesus and have our prayers answered. You say, well, I just don't know what I'm called to. Well, I can tell you one thing we're all called to. We're all called to pray in this name and have our prayers answered. Yeah, but I don't know what God wants me to do. Well, He's chosen and appointed all of us to pray in the name of Jesus and have our prayers answered. Whatever position we have in the body of Christ, whatever it is we do in the church or, you know, whatever it is we do, all of us have this calling. All of us have this appointment. All of us are ordained and chosen. You've been picked out to pray in the name of Jesus and to have your prayers answered. It is my destiny. I love that. I mean, that's just awesome. It's my calling. I was born for such a time as this. I was born to have my prayers answered in Jesus' name. God picked me out to pray in the name of Jesus and have my prayers answered.
Amen. That's good.
So when I get out and pray, it is my destiny to have this prayer answered.
Amen.
It is my calling. I've been chosen and ordained to have this prayer answered. This is how I roll. Just to be modern, you know. Of course, all the youth are upstairs, and I lost that on everybody. But anyway, this is how we get things done. This is what we do.
Yeah.
Oh, get prayers answered? Ah, that's what we do.
Yeah.
Amen? Well, how do you do that? We pray in Jesus' name. Well, who gave you the right to do that? Oh, I've been appointed to do that.
Yeah.
It's my position in the body of Christ. God ordained me to have my... Oh, well, that's kind of neat, man. I wish I had that appointment. All I had to do is get saved. Because everybody saved has this appointment. So why are you struggling so much when you pray? This is what you were born to do. And if it doesn't get done through you, it won't get done through anybody because we are the ones He moves through. No one else has the name. Only Christians have the name. See, you got to rethink it. Got to rethink it. We always fall in that trap of unworthiness. Unworthiness. Listen, if you're going to go down that road, you are always going to be unworthy if you look at yourself in the natural. You're always going to have something you need to overcome. There's always going to be something you're working on. There's always going to be some sin you committed. Listen, nobody's perfect but Jesus. That's why Jesus came. Because none of us were ever going to be good enough to go to heaven. Now, hopefully, you're getting better living holy and overcoming sin. So don't twist what I'm saying. But you're never going to reach a point where you never sin and all of a sudden now, I know I'm finally good enough. In fact, I need to call everybody and tell them just come over to my house because now I'm fine. It took me forever, but I got there. Praise God, I finally got there. Y'all need something, pray about, come call me because I am holy. Are you kidding? You just lost it when you said that. You just went down a notch as soon as you said that. Now, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Okay? No doubt about it. And that's why I can stand here in Jesus' name praying, get a healing, get a miracle, get whatever. But it's when I get off in the flesh, it's when I always begin to lose it. Whether you're trying to justify yourself in the flesh or you're trying to de-justify yourself, both are wrong. Y'all with me? See how this is a legal matter? Thank God it is. Thank God gave it. See, God was very plain about this. He gave us His name. He didn't just say, okay, now y'all just, you know, I love y'all. You're just wonderful people. Now just go ahead and whatever you want, just pray about it and I'll do it. No, no, no. He says, now when you pray, you use My Son's name. Y'all catch it? He didn't say you just go pray. He said, no, you use My Son's name. You use the name of Jesus. This will make it right. This will make it good. You won't have a problem that way. See, you'll come in, you just knock on that door and you say, Jesus sent me. And I'll let you right on in. No problem at all. So you can just stand there and say, man, I don't know if I ought to knock on that door. I don't know if it'll let me in or not. Hey, He told you to use His name. His name's on the list. Yeah, but I don't know if mine is. Well, you accept Jesus? Have you accepted Him? You're a Christian. You're a believer. These signs follow them that believe. In My name they shall cast out devils. Are you getting it? Now see, it's the same basis. I mean, I believe on Jesus, I don't perish, I have everlasting life. That's what He said. Okay? Now, he that believeth is baptized shall be saved, he that believes not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. How many of you believe? Okay. Okay, I'm a believer. I qualify. But oh, wait a minute. I qualify, but He gave me instruction on how to do it. These signs shall follow them that believe. In My name they shall. Wow. So just being a believer, that's the starting point, sure. The using the name consummates the deal. Just being a believer doesn't mean we're perfect. But we're not getting this done because we're perfect. We're getting this done because of the name of Jesus. And being a believer gives me the right to use the name. And boy, when I use the name, lack of a better term, all bets are off. It's a done deal. You can take it to the bank. Woo! I think I'm getting this more than I'm putting it out here, but I'm getting it. Okay. And 16th verse, according to Jesus' words in verse 16, John 15, we were chosen, we were appointed to do this. You're hesitant to pray. That's what you were called to do. You're hesitant to ask. He told you to do that. He ordained you to do that. You did not choose Me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in My name, He will give it you. Wow. 16th chapter. John 16. Aren't you glad it's in here over and over and over? Is this stirring you?
Yes.
Okay. Well, take it to heart. I mean, you know, just shake all that stuff off. You know, you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. Hey, it's a great day and you wake up and found out you're not perfect. Aren't you glad you came to church and found out you're not perfect? We've known it all along. We're glad you found out. We're all working on this thing. Amen? But we're trusting Jesus. We got our faith in Him, and He's changing us day by day. We're getting better. I understand that. But we're not perfect. I mean, come on. You know that. And so when I come to pray, I don't come to pray and on the basis of how good I am. I mean, guys, you know, He's not Santa Claus. He's got a list and checking it twice to see who's naughty or nice, okay? There is no Santa Claus. You do know that, don't you? He's listening for that name. Listen, He's watching over His word. He's listening for that name. He's watching over His word to perform it, Jeremiah 1:12. He's listening to that name because He will grant the request that's made in the name of Jesus on the lips of a believer. John 16, found it? John 16, Jesus speaking in the 23rd verse. Now in context here, and I challenge you to read it. In fact, just read those three chapters, 14, 15, 16. They're very intimate chapters where Jesus is with His disciples at what we call the Lord's Supper. You know, you remember the Lord's Supper? You've seen the painting, Leonardo da Vinci paint, classic painting, the Lord's Supper, all the 12 disciples, and Jesus are sitting on one side of the table. Like that's going to happen. But it makes for a good religious portrait, you know. They did not all sit on one side of the table. They sat all around it. But anyway, Judas has gone now. He's gone to betray them, the 13th chapter. And he's with his 11, actually, the disciples, the 14, 15, 16 chapters. And this is his last intimate time of teaching and ministry to them before he's going to be betrayed and crucified. In fact, right after this, he's abducted in the Garden of Gethsemane, taken in, tried, and then, of course, he's crucified. You know the story. So this is the last intimate words of Jesus to his disciples. 14, 15, and 16 chapter. The 17th chapter is a prayer to God. He's talking right to his Father. Awesome chapter. But he says here, and he's already said it twice now, about praying in that name. In the 16th chapter, he's still talking about it. And he says in the 23rd verse, and in that day, everybody say that day. That day, he's referring to the resurrection. He's referring to, he's going to die, he's going to leave them, but he's going to come back. Are you with me? He's going to die, he's going to rise again. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Because he didn't want them to continue to pray to him after he rose from the dead, because that's not the way the thing's set up. Actually, if you want to know the truth, this just boggles the mind. If you want to know something that just absolutely you can't wrap your mind around. Jesus is God, no question. And God became flesh and dwelt among us, no question. That's what we call Jesus. God became flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. Lived a perfect, sinless, holy life, died for your sins, and rose again. But when he rose from the dead, he was God, yes, but now he is our elder brother. And he is the firstborn among many brethren. He rose from the dead a brand new creature, a born-again man. God, yes, I understand that. But now he's conquered hell, death, and the grave and rose again as a new creature. And he is the firstborn among many brethren, the captain, the leader of our salvation. Not only now is he our God, he is our elder brother. And we are joint heirs with Christ. Whew. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Jesus started a whole new race when he rose from the dead. A whole new family. And he's the elder brother of the family. And we are all joint heirs with him in the family of God. All of us who have been born again are in a whole new race. So we look to Jesus as our elder brother, the one who conquered hell, death, and the grave, the one who attained our salvation, and he's the inheritor, he's the eldest, so we go in his name, but we don't pray to him, we pray to the Father in his name. And Jesus wanted to make sure they understood that they didn't keep praying to him and asking him after he rose from the dead, because now he's empowered them, and now we're all in the same family, and they can go to God themselves in his name in that day. That's what he's saying, 23rd verse. It's good stuff. In that day you shall ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Wow, this is kind of redundant, isn't it? I mean, we just read this, didn't we? 14th chapter, 15th chapter, now 16th chapter. Until now, 24th verse, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask. Would you just like to obey Jesus? Wouldn't it be great to just live your life obeying Jesus? Well, here's something he asked us to do. What is that? He asked us to ask the Father in his name. I mean, if Jesus said you ought to love people, don't you think you ought to love people? Have you ever forgiven somebody because Jesus told you to and you didn't want to? Could not count the times. Come on. I didn't want to do that. But Jesus wanted me to do it. I've done lots of things in my life after I became a Christian because Jesus wanted me to do it. I felt his love, I felt his pull, I felt his almost like him wooing me and saying, I know you don't want to do that. I know you feel like you've been wronged. I know it's going to be inconvenient. Listen to this. But real sweetly, I'd hear his voice saying, would you do it for me? And I've said, yeah, I would. I'll do that. How many times we've done that? Come on. We should live our lives doing what he wants us to do. And really, it's always better when we do it. We find out later he knew what he's talking about, and we didn't. And we were killing ourselves. And he was trying to help us. You think he's just trying to get you to help others. He's trying to get you to help yourself. Because until you help others, you're not going to help yourself. Until you forgive others, you're not going to get forgiven. Because you're going to block it. See, you just block it. So now he's asking us, let's get all this stuff out of our mind here. Okay, that's just so self-centered. You guys, bless me, you pray about everything. My goodness, do y'all just pray about everything? Yeah. Why wouldn't we? Why would I do anything I wouldn't pray about? Why would I dare do it if I wouldn't dare pray about it? If I dare do it, I should be praying. He's asking us, I'm asking you to pray in my name. Well, I don't feel like it. Well, would you do it for me? That's what Jesus is saying. Would you continue doing what I've been doing? Because I really don't want this to stop. There's still a lot of people out there that need to be healed. There's still a lot of people that need love. There's still a lot of people that need my supernatural power. And you're it. Would you do it for me? Wow. Amen? Amen. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Man, I love that. He wants you to use His name. It is His will that you pray in His name. It's His will that you get your prayers answered. It glorifies Him, and it brings joy. Notice the 26th verse. In that day you will ask in my name. In that day you will ask, how? In my name. And I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. You're part of the family now. You can use my name. You got an audience with God. And you'll get His attention when you use my name. Ooh, hallelujah. You don't need to get the saints to pray for you. God bless the saints, Peter, Paul, Mary, God bless them all. But you don't need them to pray for you. You need to pray in Jesus' name. And the key and the secret is in that name. That name is for prayer. You know, there's a couple places I want to get to. Matthew, turn to Matthew 18. I want to show you something there. Matthew 18. Is this helping you?
Yes.
We need to start believing God. We need to start believing in Jesus' name. Start praying in that name. Matthew 18. Quit beating yourself on the head. You hear me? Listen, quit beating yourself on the head. Well, I never get my prayers answered. Quit saying that. You quit saying that. Well, I don't know. I just pray nothing ever happens. Quit saying that. Quit. Just stop. Quit it. Stop it. Okay? Whatever it is that God's promised you, whatever it is that He says, you get in there and you pray and you use the name of Jesus. If it doesn't look like anything happens, you just keep thanking Him for the answer. Doesn't mean it's going to happen right away, but in the Spirit it has happened. Might take a while, but don't quit. Don't give up. Don't throw your faith away. Don't throw away your confidence. Amen? We have a legal right. We have a command. We've been ordained. We've been appointed to do this. This is our destiny, is to pray in Jesus' name. The church is supposed to be praying in the name of Jesus. We don't pray in the name of Buddha. We don't pray in the name of Muhammad. We don't pray in our own name. We don't come on our own merit. We come in the merits and in the name of Jesus. And we're the ones that have been given His name. Matthew 18, this is a verse sometimes misunderstood and misapplied, and I've even said it this way, and I think it's okay, but I think the context of it's different. We'll often say things like, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. You ever heard that? Well, not many here tonight, but where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst. Jesus is here because there's at least two of us. You know, sounds good. That's really what he's talking about. Another one I don't like, and that one's kind of okay. I like that one in the sense that He is in our midst, but He's here when I'm here. He's here when you're here, because He's in all of us that know Him. Amen? Another one here will say, we have a low crowd, and somebody will say, well, everybody God wanted here was here. Biggest lie ever told. God wanted everybody in town here. They just didn't come. Hello. Thank God you did, but I mean, no. God wanted everybody here, okay? And we're going to get something. Whether it's one or two or 2,000, doesn't matter. We're going to get something. But God wants everybody saved, and He wants everybody in church. Okay. All right, but the context of this is interesting. 18 verse 19. 19 verse says, again, I say to you, Jesus speaking now, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. What he's talking about is when two get together and pray in the name of Jesus. and agree together in Jesus' name on what they ask the Father. That it will be done because He is there to do it. He's there in the midst of that prayer and that agreement on that asking. You ask, if Tommy and I were to get together, we're going to agree together about something in the Scripture in Jesus' name. Let's agree together, Tommy, in Jesus' name. Jesus said, I'm right there. I'm there. I am so there.
Yes.
That's what He said. I am right there. Because when two or three are gathered together in my name, asking in agreement the Father, He's there. And He'll do it. So we need to agree together and ask. See, just agreeing won't get it done. Now, come on, that can't be what it means. Because let's agree together, Tommy, that Melissa's name is Fred. See, just us agreeing that will make that happen. And that won't be done of our Father which is in heaven. Are you with me? Uh-huh. It's got to be something in the Word, something God promises, that we in Jesus' name ask.
Yeah. Sure. Amen.
Isn't that right? Mm-hmm. So we're not talking about just getting an agreement. There is power in agreement, but there's power in agreeing in Jesus' name about something. Amen. And in Jesus' name, Melissa, it's Melissa, it's not Fred. Okay. I love that Scripture says He exalts His Word above His name. You can't ask for something that God doesn't promise, no matter how many times you use the name. The name works on the Word. On what He promised. It didn't work on what He didn't promise.
Amen.
Because the Word is above His name.
Yes. That's right.
Amen?
Yes.
Okay, so you see the point there. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm going to bring this to close. After I read this, I'm going to go to one more scripture. So again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything they ask, agree in prayer. See, asking. It will be done by my Father which is in heaven, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, asking in the name, see? Agreeing in the name of Jesus. There am I in the midst of them. Just want to clear that up. 1 John 5 will close this out. Oh, hallelujah. This will revolutionize your prayer life. I believe this is going to make a difference in your life if you take these scriptures to heart. And just follow the sense of them. See, there is a sense to the scriptures. There is not just a sense to it. There is a confirmation to it. One scripture stacked upon another scripture, stacked upon another scripture, stacked upon another scripture, and a mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. This is not one scripture pulled out of context. This is a scripture after scripture after scripture. Even tonight, we've gone through several passages that say the same thing. Amen? 1 John 5 tells us this. Wow, where does the time go? 1 John 5, notice the 13th verse. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God. How many of you believe in the name of the Son of God?
Yes.
Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay. These things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Hallelujah, somebody. I know I have eternal life.
Amen.
I'm not waiting to be saved. I be saved. I be saved now. Why? How do I know that? Because I believe on the name of the Son of God. I believe in Jesus. Hallelujah. And it says right here, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. What's His name? Jesus. That you may know that you have eternal life. Now listen, he didn't stop there. He says, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. What do you mean? Continue to believe in the name. Next verse. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. He's still talking about believing in the name. You come to God, you ask in that name. You've asked, you've been saved, you're born again now, you've got eternal life. Keep believing in that name. And when you pray, pray in that name. And pray with confidence.
Amen.
And know this, that if you ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if you know He hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Why? Because we're believing in the name. Because we're praying in that name. And what does it say in that third chapter? I know I lied to you. I told you it was the last one. The third chapter. Notice the very last part of the third chapter. 1 John 3:23. This is His commandment. Let's back up. 22nd verse. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him. Listen very closely, because this will throw you if you stop too quick. Because we receive from Him what we ask, because we keep His commandments. Do those things that are pleasing in His sight, and this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave His commandment. What is the commandment we keep? that causes us to get our prayers answered. Believe on the name of the Son of God. And of course, love one another. That's good stuff. When you pray, pray in the name. That's how you can have some assurance and confidence that you get your prayers answered.